I have a quick favor to ask. We've noticed less than 25% of listeners on this podcast are subscribed to the show. The simplest way you can help us this year is by tapping the follow button on the app that you're listening to the show on right now. It's free, it's straightforward, and it's incredibly impactful. As we strive to elevate every aspect of our show in 2024, your follow will allow us to attract even more highly acclaimed guests. Thank you so much. Your support means the world to us.
Well, it's really quite simple. The first thing to realize is there is only one place for fear in your life, and that's when you're faced with an immediate threat to your survival. But when you really think about it, what we've done all our life is we've trained our brain to see imaginary fears or imaginary threats to our survival as real. In other words, we see things such as losing all your money. Your husband or your wife wants a divorce. We've trained our brain to think that all those things are bad, that they're threats to our survival. A war going on the other side of the world. We watch all the images on TV, and our brain is saying, this is really dangerous. You could be harmed. You could be killed. But it's all imaginary. So, in other words, our fear response is only designed to be used for real dangers, real threats. And they might only happen, they used to happen multiple times a day. In caveman's days, of course, but in our modern world, how many times are we faced with an honest to goodness threat or a danger to our survival? Maybe once or twice in our life, maybe. How many times do people come along and want to hit you? How many times does a car come your way and threaten to kill you? So everything else is merely the fact that your brain has interpreted something for what it isn't. It's saying, I'm because what literally the emotional brain does is it searches through all the records of the rational thinking brain to try and understand what's going on. And so maybe in your childhood, you overheard two people arguing about their marriage, or maybe your parents, and they were really fighting and it was all horrible, and so, oh, we're getting a divorce, and somehow something went in which said to your brain, that's a sign that that's a threat to your survival because you're only a child. And you could starve, if your parents don't look after you. I mean, that's the sort of thing I'm saying. And the thing is, you don't need to go back and analyze all of these things. You just need to realize the only time you should feel bad, actually, is when there's an immediate threat to your survival. And the fact you do feel bad is simply a misrepresentation by your brain, a misperception by your brain. And we know this is true because for any situation that you could be in, some people could think it's really, really bad, the same situation, and other people could think it's really, really good. I mean, your wife telling you what you want a divorce, for instance. Some people, and I do a lot of relationship coaching, as you might know, and some people say, oh, it's the worst thing that could happen. I'll be alone, no one will love me again. I'll be a failure. Everyone will call me a failure. My children will be really badly affected. I'll never find anyone as good. I'll live with regret. And other people say, oh, that's good. Our relationship wasn't going very well anyway. And that'll give me the opportunity to go and find someone better. And my children will be fine. And it's not a failure. It's a sign of success that I'm prepared to move on when I realize that something's not right. What's the difference? Your
Deception.
perception. That's all it is. And that's what's going on in your brain. Your brain is creating a perception based on your experience for every moment in your life, and it's determining how you feel. So I know it's controversial to say, but fear is not actually natural. In fact, we're only born with two fears. I don't know if you knew that. One is the fear of falling, and the other is the fear of loud noises. Every other fear that we have is created by our brain due to our circumstances, due to our environment. We make up whether something we think is something to be afraid of or not. In other words, whether it's going to harm us or is a threat and is a threat to our survival or not. So if you realize, though, that this activator, this fear, when you're in that wrong state, you can never be the best that you can be. It's not designed for that. It's readying you to protect you from a threat or a danger. You need to activate this creative state. So you need to train your brain. There's a couple of things you need to do. The first is you need to, or the first actually you need to do is you need to stop putting stuff into your brain that makes you feel bad, that's going to activate this fear state. In other words, you need to turn off the news. You need to end that conversation with that person that doesn't make you feel good. You need to maybe end that relationship. If you're coaching a client and it's not going well, you need to say to them, sorry, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Now, the only reason you wouldn't do that, for instance, is if you're afraid you wouldn't find a better one. But if you knew you had this brain there that's probably saying to you, look, I want to give you this really awful client who's so that you get the message when you get a bad client, get rid of them, and then I'll bring you the good ones. Because as we know, even with coaching, people show up unexpectedly. That often it's not just the result of your hard work that you get good clients or any clients. So that's the first thing you need to do, is to say, what is it in my life that's causing me to feel bad, causing me to feel stress? What can I do to get rid of it? And people say, oh, I can't get rid of my relationship, or you can't change what's going on in the world, or all these terrible things. And it's all very well for you, Liam, to say you don't have any problems and you shouldn't have problems, but you're not like me. You don't have my situation. All right, I did actually end up homeless, you know, after having spent my life trying to create this great life and had it all taken away from me. And I've had my other challenges as well that people might say were problems. So I've been through it, but here's the thing. You can say it's all well for you, but this is a bit like another example. Someone comes along with a glass of something and says, please drink this. And you say, well, what is that? And they say, oh, it's hydrochloric acid. And you say, well, I'm not going to drink that. And they say, why not? Look, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's thinking this is the great new drink. But more importantly, if you don't drink this, I'm going to make sure that you lose everything you have. All of your friends, all of your family, you're never going to see them again. They're never going to talk to you. Every single stitch of your possessions, you're going to lose, and you're going to end up on the street. And you're going to say, well, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter what the cost. I know if I drink that, it's going to ruin my life. It doesn't matter what the justification is. I'm just not going to drink it because I understand that's how it works. I understand if I take in this hydrochloric acid, it's going to ruin my life. And that's the same with this fear, anxiety, and worry. When you realize that that activates the wrong part of your brain, that means you're never going to have the life you really want, you're going to do everything to remove it. And it doesn't matter the justification. And the only reason you wouldn't remove it is because you're afraid. So in other words, you wouldn't get rid of that relationship or that client or that part of your business or that belief system. You wouldn't get rid of it because you were afraid that something better wouldn't come along. In other words, you didn't understand that your creative brain is sitting there saying, I'm here to give you the best. Just let me work, you know, get rid of anything that's holding you back so I can really go to work and bring you this amazing stuff. So that's the first thing. And you really have to make that commitment. And it's not necessarily easy, but it's a lot easier when you understand that this is how it works and that you're going to be the loser unless you do. And the second thing you need to do is you need to get into your brain and say, what have you been teaching your brain all through your life and reinforced every day of your life through all of what everybody else is saying and everyone else is telling you that is the truth, that is making your brain afraid of something that it doesn't need to be afraid of, that isn't a threat to its survival or isn't a threat to your survival. And you need to start, I have a process called brain rebalancing, which helps retrain your brain to identify the difference between real fears, things to be afraid of, and things that are only imaginary. And when you do both of those things, when you stop the hydrochloric acid coming in, and then you get to work on the engine inside to reset it, then you start using your creative brain a lot more naturally. And what you find is things start to show up in your life in a much better way. You get these coincidences, these things that happen. You start to get these new insights. Things flow a lot better. And as they start to, you go, wow, how did that happen? And you go, oh, of course I know how that happened. That's my creative brain at work. That's the master of my life. I'm not the master of my life, because when you think you're the master of your life, I mean, you are the master of your life, but when you think you are, when you're working on your goals and you're doing all your plans and trying to work things out and struggle, you're not in control of your life. You're allowing this small part of you that's only designed to fight off danger. You're allowing that to control your life. You're not in control through your creative brain. That's the way you do it.
So what is one tip you can give for people that are listening now that say, okay, this all makes perfect sense, Liam. I definitely am on board for this. What is one action step that they can take to flip that fear around? Because fear is a real emotion. We actually really do feel it.
For
So
sure.
how can people start to flip that? You know, like you're saying, what is something that you did so that all of a sudden things didn't feel so fearful and you were able to keep that creative state on?
Okay, well, it's to realize that when you feel fear, it's not that you want to feel fear. It's your brain is signaling there is something dangerous in your environment. So when you This is a ha and it's really just a habit. Your brain, you've trained your brain with all these ideas like life is hard, life is a struggle, all relationships take work, everything takes work. You know, you've trained your brain to believe all of these things, which aren't biologically natural. They're not actually the truth. Even if everyone believes them, if everyone believes you have to push the car, it doesn't make it true. So the first thing is to realize that fear is the enemy. But if you really want to know the most basic thing you can do, because we talked earlier about, or we've talked about with the survival brain, one of the things the survival brain needs is to know what to do. What do I do now? What's the next, you know, I need to do it. How do I fix it? And so we want quick fixes. We want an instant solution. And it's because this is the way the survival brain is designed. It's designed to find you a fast solution to a problem. It's designed to get you to jump out of the way from the line because these are real problems. You need to solve them instantly. So we need to get away from this idea if we need to know that a quick fix and go, how can I, what'll solve my problem right now? But if you want to know what to do right now, what to do next, think about this for an idea. What's the most biologically efficient way for you to achieve all of the goals you're supposed to achieve and be the best that you can be from a biological perspective? Well, what it is, one of the principles of biology is efficiency of energy. In other words, everything in nature is designed, including us, to get the maximum output, the maximum result for the minimum expenditure of energy. We have to do that. We might have to do that for survival. We might not be able to eat and find food for a week. So we have to be able to make sure that what we achieve on an outward point of view requires the minimum amount of energy. So the way your creative brain works, because your creative brain is sitting there, it knows what you need and want to be happy and successful far more than you do. You're busy there trying to figure it all out using your stress-based brain. And meanwhile, your creative brain is saying, look, I know what you want. I know far more what you want. You know, oftentimes I work with people, and when they go through this process, what they end up doing is something completely different to what they ever thought they'd be doing with their life. You know, there they are, a corporate executive somewhere, and they end up running a diving school in Florida, which is one of my clients did. You know, an economist said, I never would have thought this would happen, but I'm so happy, and I can see now this is what's really fulfilling in my life. So your creative brain knows. It knows exactly what you need, and it knows exactly what you need to do in every moment to make sure that you become the best that you can be. But here's the thing. The way it works is, what's the most biologically efficient way to have your life be the best that it can be? It's to have your creative brain only show you the next step, one step at a time. Because if it showed you, firstly, if it most of the time it doesn't even show you the goal. Because if it showed you the goal, what would you say? Oh no, you'd start analyzing, say, that's ridiculous. I couldn't even
Yeah,
do that.
right.
You're telling me I'm going to go off and eventually being doing tours of the pyramids in Egypt. Come on, I don't know anything about what is a pyramid. Yes.
It creates its own stress there. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Influence by Design podcast. If you want more, head over to influencebydesignpodcast.com for the show notes and links to today's gifts and sponsors. And if you're looking to connect with other experts who are growing and scaling their business too, join us in the Coaches, Thought Leaders and Changemakers community on Facebook. The links are waiting for you over at influencebydesignpodcast.com.